The Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces executive order has been billed by the Obama administration as mainly a check-the-box policy, as long as you're a law-abiding contractor. The point they insist is to hold chronic violators accountable. But industry groups didn't like the draft version of the order's implementing regulations, and they don't like the final ones either. And several federal contracting attorneys say the order will do more harm than good. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers has been gathering reaction from the more than 900 pages of rules the administration issued last week, and she joins us now to share some of those reactions. Hi, Meredith.
Hi, Jared.
So suffice to say, and this is probably putting it mildly, that not everyone is on board with the order, or more precisely, the regulations implementing the order, right?
No, not everyone is as excited as the administration is on this. So the final regulations go into effect October 25th and require companies to disclose violations for 14 labor law protections that occurred in the past 3 years. And the idea behind this guidance is to make sure that the government is only contracting with employees that follow labor rules, and also make sure that those companies are treating their employees fairly. But the contracting attorneys I talked to said, while yes, it's good that companies are looking at their labor law performance, the executive order puts a really heavy burden not only on contractors, but also on federal contracting officers. Here's Scott McCaleb. He's a partner with the law firm Wiley Ryan, and they have a government contracts practice.
It's certainly a burden and a financial burden. The government recognizes this in the final rule for contractors to establish the systems and processes to enable it to enable them to comply with the obligations that the final rule imposes. When you couple that with the establishment of what will be essentially a new bureaucracy of persons who are government employees who are supposedly or purportedly experts in labor law, who will analyze the information provided to them and weigh in and offer thoughts on how that impacts the responsibility of contractors. I think you're seeing burdens that are, you see burdens that attach not just to industry but to government as well, and the burdens are for the establishment of a bureaucracy that I think most would view as wholly unnecessary.
That was Scott McCaleb. He's a partner with the law firm Wiley Ryan. Now, the violations requiring disclosures are those that are considered serious, repeated, willful, pervasive. And the Department of Labor says that less than 10% of contractors and subcontractors are going to have to disclose these types of violations. But the lawyers I talked to said that that number is probably much higher. And not only that, it's going to be hard for businesses of all sizes to go back through their history to find every last violation. It's going to take time and money, resources like that, for small and medium-sized businesses to scrounge up. And then you've got these large multi-billion dollar international companies that have offices all over the world, and they're going to have to track down this information, funnel it to the right people, and then send it off to the government where it's going to be posted for everyone else to see.
Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers is with us to talk about the implementing regulations for the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces executive order that came out last week. And Meredith, among the procurement law community, let's call it, among the folks that you talked to, do they see any good coming out of this final rule?
Yeah, there were a couple things that they said, okay, this is a good thing to do. Linda Jackson, she's an attorney and a co-chair of the government contractors group at Littler Mendelson, said that the staggered implementation date will help make it easier for companies to get their compliance in order. Also allowing subcontractors to report directly to the government rather than the prime contractors is also a good change, she says. But she did not like that there was not a narrowing of the reportable violations. Because the reportable violations are so broad, it includes final orders as well as potential violations in their earliest stages of administration. Here's Jackson.
An agency may indicate that they think there's an issue worth pursuing, but there hasn't been a final adjudication. And so you have a situation where a company, you know, is basically litigating the same issue and parallel track, and a situation where, you know, an issue that hasn't reached a final determination may end up causing a company not to get a contract. And that's where the litigation comes in, right? That raises some significant due process concerns.
Jackson said that potential litigation over this executive order is possible, and that's something that Scott McCaleb told me he also thinks could happen.
It won't surprise me to see either legislative or litigative pursuits in connection with the rule. And I say that because, you know, despite efforts or purported efforts by the government to minimize the impact of the final rule and the DOL guidance, at the end of the day, you know, we still have a very costly and burdensome solution that remains in search of a problem. And, you know, the evidence itself is in the rule, which repeatedly says that it will only result in non-responsibility determinations in a very limited number of situations, and also claims that the administration already has the authority to make those non-responsibility findings. So it really is what it has been for since its inception and conception, and that is a solution in search of a problem.